So the legend continues, and it's a very beautiful, almost romantic story, that one night, when everything was quiet, when there was a full moon in the sky, no sound, the Buddha bade a last farewell to his sleeping wife and his child. He wasn't happy to leave them, but he had to go all the same. He went out into the Indian moonlight, and he rode many miles that night till he reached the river, left his horse there, left behind his princely garments, cut off his long hair and his beard, and he became a homeless wanderer in search of truth. And this going forth psychologically is very important, very significant. I've sometimes thought I'd like to give a talk one day just on this topic, the significance of the going forth. It's not just becoming a monk, it's much more than that. It means cutting off all ties, cutting off what Fromm calls the incestuous ties to blood and soil and kindred and all the rest of it, and leaving yourself free as an individual to work out your own salvation and your own destiny for yourself. So the Buddha got away from it all. Now, to use the fashionable phrase, he opted out. He'd had enough. He was going to try to find out, try to see the truth. So for 6 years, he was searching. And in those days in India, there were many people who taught ways leading to realization, leading to the attainment of truth. One of these ways was the way of self-torture. Now in this country, we can't quite take this seriously. There's never been a way, really, in the West, apart from perhaps the hermits of the Egyptian desert in the 2nd century AD. But apart from that, it's never been a part of our daily life. We don't go to work, say, in the morning, and on the way we see a man sitting on a bed of nails. It's not part of our way of life. But in India, it's very much in the air, very much in the atmosphere. And even now, Indians do have this very strong belief that self-torture is the way to heaven, or the way even to self-knowledge and enlightenment. So in the Buddha's day, there was a very powerful movement of this sort, that if you wanted to gain the truth, you have to subdue and subjugate and even mortify the flesh. So that's what the Buddha did for many a long year, for 6 years. He practiced austerities, he limited his food, he limited his sleep, he didn't wash, he went about naked. All this is described by the Buddha himself when he became an old man in the Buddhist scriptures, all these austerities. And it is said that the fame of his austerities was noised abroad like the sound of a great bell hung in the canopy of the skies. He became famous for this asceticism and this self-torture. And he afterwards said that no one in India went beyond me in self-torture and self-mortification. But, he said, it led me nowhere. It didn't lead to the truth. It didn't lead to enlightenment. And the Buddha had the courage to give up. He'd become quite famous. He was well known as a great ascetic, had a number of disciples who were with him. But when he realized that this wasn't the way, he gave it up. He started eating again. Took regular meals. Yes, terrible, isn't it? He started eating again after this fast and this austerity, and his disciples said, well, what is this? He's backsliding. He isn't the man we thought he was. So they left him in disgust. They went away. And he was left quite on his own. And this is also significant, that he was left on his own. He already had left his family, left his friends, left his tribe. But in the end, even his disciples deserted him. There wasn't a single person remaining with him. He is entirely on his own.